about government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 16th on the West Coast, and now June the 17th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We'd like to welcome all those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on the internet on blogtalkradio.com as well. We appreciate you folks tuning in and helping disseminate this broadcast around the world. Really, we do. You have no idea how much we appreciate that. The world is currently entranced with the goings-on in South Africa, the World Cup football tournament, as they call it over there in most languages, soccer as it's referred to in the United States. And though I'm a fan of athletics, professional, amateur, and even participating in athletics, it becomes increasingly aware that the non-stop athletic programs are designed to divert our attention away from more meaningful topics that are going on, such as the Gulf of Mexico oil catastrophe that is still being called the spill. It is certainly worth one hell of a spanking if you spill that much milk when you were sitting in your high chair at 1 or 2 years old. This is much more serious than a spill, and it's being underplayed by the media. And the significance and the competence or incompetence of those who are orchestrating this false flag event upon humanity now, it's more than an American thing. The oceans belong to the whole world. And the animals and the marine life and the plants that inhabit the oceans belong to the whole world. The whole world is dependent upon the life force that exists on this planet, and not necessarily on the death and the destruction of the planet. In fact, that's what destroys the planet. Why doesn't this sink into these empty heads that are just determined to profit, to put some money in their pockets, and they've devised this scheme, and all the evidence shows that it's such, to undermine the freedom of people around the world, to herd us into pens like cattle, which is something that'll be forthcoming unless we do something about this issue, which they are either unable to or unwilling to resolve on their own. They made the mess, they should clean it up, but we can't depend on that. We can look at government and see that they've made the same kinds of messes in government for over 230 years just here in America. They've done this around the world, the maddening creation of wars and the murdering and slaughtering of millions of innocent people just for profits, oil profits, corporate profits, mineral rights, mineral profits, the theft of the assets of other countries. It's a never-ending tape loop, and yet they repeat the same lies throughout their corrupt history, which I and some others have disproven as hoaxes perpetrated on humanity. And we're doing it in real time today in regard to this oil crisis in the Gulf of Mexico. I got wind this evening from someone whose scientific acumen I respect with the utmost of respect that one can exude when someone constantly shows you solutions to the world's problems and the world ignores this individual's contributions, as well as others like him. Nikola Tesla was a perfect example. And I was told this evening that the Dutch have said basically that they could solve this issue in 24 hours. And basically they were told by the short-legged Mac Daddy to take a hike. Well, it's quite obvious, the research that I've done on this, and I haven't done a terrible amount, but I've been able to put the pieces together, and I've been throwing out numbers as much as six and a half weeks ago. I've been telling everyone that the oil pressure is up to 100,000 pounds per square inch. And I was related to a story about an experiment that Nikola Tesla had performed many, many years ago in regard to that type of research. And he was able to produce a force of 100,000 pounds of pressure per square inch. And he was able to take water and actually dent solid steel, make a sizable dent in the steel using that pressure. And it was in a contained laboratory environment of his design. And so if Tesla could deal with these issues 100 years ago, with all the modern technology today that we have, why can this not be resolved? And I submit that it likely can, but the intention is not to resolve it. Now, this is insanity. And we're going to talk about various types of insanity and psychopathy and the intention to lower the vibration of this planet and your intelligence and your consciousness with tonight's guest, who has written an excellent book called The Heart Doctrine. He's been on the show in the past, and I brought him back expressly to discuss these types of issues and offer some solutions as to how we can go about changing this from a spiritual perspective. He hosts his own show on BBS Radio every second Tuesday. The show was entitled Zero Point, and he also has his own website by the same name, zeropoint.com. My good friend from Canada, by way of England, Christopher Holmes, PhD. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Don. I'm honored to be back on your show. I'm a regular listener. It keeps me up at late. It throws my life off, but it's worth listening to your show. Excellent guests you have and original research. Really appreciate what people like you do and those others in the truth movement. I don't know where we'd be without this internet radio and this alternative to the mass hypnosis of the media. Well, we certainly are in absolutely crazy times. It's just unbelievable. It's fantastic. I could never have believed the depravity of what has happened to our nations and the depravity of our leaders and the corruption that's pervaded every aspect of our society. You know, I was a late waker-upper. I only woke up about 4 years ago when my youngest son showed me a 9/11 movie exposing the fraud of 9/11. And it's funny how when you wake up, I find I can't go back to normal life. I can't watch all these sports or things like that. It's like, how can people, all they're concerned about, men playing games with balls. That's what it's, in a way, it used to be fun to me, but it's not anymore. Like, our nations are being destroyed, the people are being impoverished, people are losing their homes, the environment is being, this is irreversible kind of damage that's being done in the Gulf. All these things, you know, we're being sprayed by poisons from the air, the food's being poisoned, every aspect. Now they're putting in dual water lines so they can selectively put poisons into people's water. It's just beyond the imagination. It's a synagogue of Satan. It's overwhelming. You know, one has to learn to kind of abide in it and try to face it. That's funny. You wake up to it. You can't go back to normal life. That's what I find.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There. What is normal life anymore? You know.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. I mean, at one point, I mean, for me, it was normal. I mean, many people have been aware of this conspiracy and the depravity of our leaders. Many people have been aware of that 20, 30 years, but, you know, fortunately, I was able to lead a fairly regular life until I woke up to it, as I say, just 4 years ago. I wonder, Don, how long have you been aware of the extent of this psychopathy and criminality in your country?
Well, really, as a world traveler through music, I was into a lot of things such as what you describe in your book, believe it or not. And I was doing research in international libraries as I traveled around whenever I could. There were sometimes weeks or even months that went by where I was so busy I couldn't do that, but if I was at home at night, I would be reading. I would be filling my mind and my heart with loftier thoughts than what I'm seeing transpire, and it really didn't matter where I was around the world. I spent some time in Italy and read about a succession of presidents who were being murdered. Moro was murdered at one time, found in the trunk of his car. That's the dignity that some countries give their presidents when they're assassinated. So I saw this going on around the world, and I always suspected there were some things wrong here in the States, but I would have to say probably the biggest alarm that went off in my mind was during a trip from California to Ohio and seeing a drastic change, because I hadn't been in Ohio for some 23 years, and what I saw was appalling, and I began really digging into what was causing the decay of my hometown and other cities in the area. And I began to notice this wherever I went. There, you know, you're somewhat compartmentalized in the Los Angeles area. I saw the decay going on there too, on Hollywood Boulevard. And I thought to myself, what would make anyone set Hollywood as a goal to visit? Well, it was this brainwashing that there was something supernatural about being around idols. You could literally idol worship in person, and that was something to be sought after and esteemed. So I saw the manipulation going on with the society, and I saw the behind-the-scenes corruption going on in the government. And I would say now it's been a good 20 to 25 years that I've seriously studied that in this country.
Wow.
And only came out about 4 years ago, speaking and writing about it. So if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, I have a different background. I kind of lived the last 20 years in rural Canada, and, you know, I was in a family way. I have 5 children, and, you know, I kind of just, I was isolated enough from it all. I just didn't realize what was going on. I believed the media. You know, I watched the CBC news and read the newspaper, and I had really been completely deceived. You know, it was quite a rude awakening for me. When I woke up, I just couldn't believe it. I had wild experiences as I woke up, and, you know, discovering the truth of 9/11, and then going on the internet, realizing, oh, London train bombings were a fraud, Spain's train bombings, Oklahoma City, all of these things. You know, we've been completely deceived systematically and intentionally through all the corporate media for the last 50 years or longer.
Yes. Now, if I may interject something here, Christopher, you have a background that qualifies you to make the type of statements that you make. And for the new listeners out there, if you would just give us a brief synopsis of what your qualifications are as a forensic psychologist and some of your experience, because you were working supposedly on the side of the good guys in that capacity and came to learn that the people you were working for were actually a worse problem than those that you were studying and helping.
To give a quick background, I'm a PhD clinical psychologist, and I worked originally in York University in Toronto, Ontario, and I was essentially driven out of the university because of my interest in paranormal and psychical phenomena and the study of esoteric, mystical, and spiritual teachings. And my work became immensely popular at the university. And it was a very Jewish university, a major Jewish university. And I was driven out. I had a case over academic freedom that was dragged out over 8 to 10 years before I was driven out of that university. And it wore me down enough. And so then I left after leaving the university and kind of giving up my case, which was dragged out so long, I had to move on and get other work to support my family. And then I worked in the Ontario Correctional Services for 12 years, first with the worst young offenders in the province of Ontario, and then with adult offenders. In the provincial system. So they were men serving 2 years less a day. They stay in the provincial system. So I worked then for 12 years as a forensic psychologist, helping people with addictions and anger management and working as a psychologist in the prisons. And then I left that about 6 years ago, and in a way, at that time, I think the Ontario Correctional Services was really quite good. I didn't see then the kind of deviancy that has more and more come into our correctional facilities. The more these people are able to make money off it and use prisoners as slaves and so on, our correctional services have degenerated further and further. But generally, my experience in corrections, the last prison I worked at was really, I thought, an excellent treatment center in prison. And but through my life, I've always been interested in the issue of the origin and nature of human consciousness. And that's, I've studied that issue for 30 years as a psychologist, and then I became a mystic. And through my life, I've had different mystical experiences that convinced me absolutely that we're not simply the material body, but that we do have a spirit or soul, and that consciousness, there's some higher dimensional nature to human existence and human consciousness. So that's been my lifetime passion, is the study of consciousness. And I developed an original approach to working with offenders, because most of modern psychology is cognitive behavioral modification, and they consider human beings as having a twofold nature, a mind and a body. And I realized that modern psychology has no psychology of the heart and soul. And I developed an approach to offender rehabilitation called the awakening of consciousness and the heart in criminal offenders, realizing that the most serious damage to offenders is done to the human heart. And the way in which people have to awaken and to overcome the traumas they've been through is through the healing of the human heart. And that's led to me eventually, well, I have six books on mystical studies that I've written. But the Heart Doctrine book is really the most important, and it challenges the last century of modern academic psychology and its denial of spirit and soul in human beings.
Yes. Now, and that brings us really to, in a sense, back to this topic that I was discussing at the opening of the show, which is on everyone's mind, and while this is going on, people are pocketing huge sums of money, which is causing the delay in a solution. And the problem is being exacerbated at the same time because of the inattention to resolving it. So we are witnessing really this spiritual confrontation between good and evil that you and I discussed the last time you were on the show. And it's taken on a whole new dimension. I don't think we really had a handle on what has transpired as much as we do today or tonight during this show. And, you know, how would you classify people that would permit this to occur? Whether it was intentional or accidental, and we have evidence, you know, that indicates what it was. There are too many synchronicities and too many coincidences for this to be an accident. And certainly the way the accident, if it was an accident, is being handled shows the intention to not resolve the problem. That's pretty much across the board. People feel that way. Now, people are feeling with their heart. They have compassion for the tremendous loss of the marine life, the destruction of the ocean, which is underway and can mushroom into the complete destruction of all the seas on the earth, not to mention the calamities that will be tangential to that. What kind of minds or what kind of beings would allow this to occur, in your estimation?
Well, the most immediate answer, in a way, is that they're psychopaths, and psychopaths are people who lack empathy or feeling or the capacity for experiencing love of other people, and they're completely self-centered, dominated by the false mind in the head, and in a way, they have no heart, and they're good at conning people. They're completely superficial self. In a way, they're empty inside. So on one level, I would say they're psychopaths. But in a way, the real psychopaths are the people behind it, because so many people they bring in, and it's because of the perversions of people. Like, so many of our government and other people are blackmailed through their pedophilia and sexual perversions and prostitutions. So there's that, you know, the sexual perversion is such a huge aspect of this, and how they gain control over people. And they've advanced people into superior ranks in the military, in the police, in the government, in our universities, and so on. They advance those people who they're able to entrap in their web of deceit and blackmail and so on. So a lot of people who become pawns in their game aren't such radical psychopaths, but in a way, they are silenced by their fear of being exposed, of being murdered if they speak out, and so on. So as I said before, psychopaths, perverts, and pedophiles, and you added parasites, because these people are parasites too. They don't add anything productive to our society. They just live off other people.
I have another P word to add to that list too. Politicians.
Okay. Sorry?
Politicians.
Yeah. Well, they're not all politicians, because, I mean, these people are in the military and intelligence services, the corporate elite. I mean, these people actually plan, you know, mass murders, like this whole thing, Agenda 21 and the UN. Who are these people who think they have some right to mass murder other people? And intentionally, and spreading illness in our society. Like these people who spray us with chemtrails. What is wrong with these people? They're obviously criminally insane, these people behind these schemes. I would call them criminally insane. They need to be hospitalized. But also behind, I think there's something even more sinister. I mean, you know, I believe in that there are aliens and other entities, even higher dimensional entities, which possess people's hearts through hyperspace dimensions, in a way. And so I think there's something even more sinister beyond that. They're not simply psychopaths. On another level, there's something alien in them. I give credence to David Icke's kind of hypothesis that they're reptilian hybrids. Like, I think that's very possible. It's very complex. You know, I think there are different alien races. It's a very complex, mystery. And I'm still trying to understand what's going on. There's layer upon layer of the deception and lies and hypocrisy and perversion of that's occurred in our society. I mean, it's a nightmare. The American dream has become the American nightmare.
Yeah.
And they're on the mass murder. I mean, they got extermination camps all through the United States. You know, they import 20,000 guillotines from China. You know, they got buses and trains all with shackles to shackle people in. It's like in pre-Nazi Germany, like people didn't see what was happening in their own society, and everybody lives in denial of it.
Well, the repetition of the French Revolution, too, you know?
If things turn, I mean, we may see, there may be hangings, you know, there may be a lot of politicians who will be hanging around Washington in a totally different way.
Yeah. You're bringing out so many points, and I can't disagree with any of this because I see it in my research and night after night, the guests that come on the show talk about these things. Not all with the passion that you do, but you come from a very unique perspective because you deal professionally with people that have these issues. And I have to agree with you about the alien thing. We have various types of aliens here on this planet. Right,
yeah.
In this country, we have many illegal aliens. And then we have extraterrestrial aliens. We have some are intelligent. There are many who are observing what's going on, who are extremely intelligent and extremely loving and really understand what is going on in the universe. And then you have those that are demonically possessed or acting as if they're demonically possessed and certainly influencing the events that are occurring here on this planet at this time. And when we talk about these things, we are told that we are nutcases and wackos and theorists. I use the word conspiracy, as I often say, as a noun, not as an adjective, so it doesn't need any kind of modifier, and it's not to modify any other word in the English language. A conspiracy is what it is, and these people conspire together to do all these things. It's simple. You just look at what they're doing. They're conspiring in the Gulf right now to allow this to become amplified or magnified. It's not enough of a disaster because they can't take control yet. And they're conspiring to take control. They're conspiring to enslave the whole planet. And they've done that to some extent, but people are waking up to it. So they've got a little bit of a dilemma because they've got to deal with the problems that they've created, which have actually gone further than they would have hoped. They are at risk of the same things that we are. In fact, if we were to turn on them, they would find out in very short order that they don't stand a chance. The thing that we have to hope for is that people wake up and really pay attention to what's going on. And either way, whether those people do wake up or not, I think they're inconsequential to resolving the problem and arriving at some solutions. Doesn't take all of us to do that. This takes enough of those that are awake and that concerned and have their hearts open and realize what's actually going on. Doesn't matter what they say about us. It doesn't change what they do. And it doesn't alter the consequences of what they do. Stopping them is what we must do. Any comments you want to make? I don't mean to rant here, but, you know.
Different things. You talk, like, the media has conditioned people to accept that if you call someone a conspiracy theorist, that is demeaning and that is a way of dismissing what they have to say. Whereas I gladly endorse, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm not an idiot. Anyone who isn't a conspiracy theorist is an idiot. History, you look at history, all of history's involved conspiracies of these people. Do you think criminals come out publicly and reveal their plans? No, anyone who's not a conspiracy theory, in my view, is an idiot. And the fact that it's theory, conspiracy theory, well, science is full of theories. Theory of relativity, quantum theory, theory of evolution. Science is full of theories. The fact that it's theory, like some aspects of it is theory, but that theory is supported by a wealth of information and facts. So anyone who's not a conspiracy theory, I say, is an idiot. Like, they have no idea of what is being done in their society, and they're just the sheep people who've been so conditioned by the media and the false educational system. So that's just a comment on the conspiracy notion. And then I think, like, this mass awakening, like, there's nothing more important about this. Like, this is our only hope and salvation, is this mass awakening, and with that, then, people turning. I think we have to have people turning, like, the people in the military. Like, to me, the senior military people are completely treasonous. They betray their own soldiers, taking them into these wars in the Middle East, Afghanistan and Iraq, completely fraudulent criminal wars, based on lies, and I think a lot of military people didn't realize it initially, but then they wake up to it. Don't they have any honor to protect their nation against enemies, foreign and domestic? I mean, our real enemies are not foreign. The enemies of Americans are not Muslims or people in the Middle East. The enemies of America are in America, they're in England, they're in Israel, they're in Canada, they're in our own societies. These are our real enemies. These are the real terrorists. You see, so we have to have this mass awakening, and then we need our military people to turn, and the police to turn, to realize that what they've been involved in is absolutely treasonous behavior. Like, what? Why are none of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, are they protecting America? They're allowing this to go on. They're allowing American citizens to be sprayed, biological terrorism being sprayed with chemtrails. They're allowing this while they're supposedly protecting America through a criminal war, which is really for the elites, so the CIA can run the drugs and run the pedophile rings and have military bases. See, these people in all our offices, they're involved in treason, and I mean, Elmo, are you aware of this lady Kay Briggs or Beggs, or who was married to one of the superior military people and associated with the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Have you ever heard her testimony?
I listened to all 8 hours of her testimony, and
that was fascinating, because she just shows how these people, in a way, they're so involved in homosexuality, wife swapping, prostitution, all this kind of moral degeneracy, and then they're all bought out and being bribed by the military defense contractors, and they completely betray their country, and they dishonor their oaths of office. It's like these people, and they get, it's a slippery slope into, they get entwined in this, and then they can't get out. See, we need these people, we need our military to honor their oaths, and our police, and the people in the CIA and the FBI, like these intelligence networks. Like, you look at history, when did the CIA ever serve the American people? They couldn't even catch a person who murdered Kennedy, and then Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King Jr., yes.
All these crimes done, the Oklahoma City bombings, 9/11, and when did the CIA or FBI ever capture any of the true criminals? They don't.
They played a role in those assassinations.
They do. But at the same time, it's not everyone in the CIA and FBI. You see, because I would still expect that the majority of people in our police and intelligence services are honorable. I still like to believe that. And we need those people in the ranks to turn. We need for them to have a change of heart, that they realize that this is insane. This has gone too far. And we need to allow truth hearings, that these people who come forward, certain people, they need to be allowed forgiveness. We need like truth hearings where people are allowed forgiveness and to come forward. We need these people in the CIA to take back that agency to want to serve the American people again. And we need the people in the military to turn. I mean, it's so tragic what's being done to American servicemen. You know, they're over there in a criminal war based on lies. They're given poisonous inoculations. You know, the only, 3,000 servicemen have died in the Middle East, I think about. But there are 6,000 suicides a year in the American military. Why are these people committing suicide? For various reasons, partly because of the atrocities they've been involved in. You know, and there's hundreds of thousands of American men and women coming back with brain injuries and all kinds of physical loss of limbs and so on. And why aren't any of these military officers, how do they so lack integrity that they allow this to be done to their own servicemen, all based on lies? It's an amazing process. I could never have believed the depravity that's crept into our services. In Canada, I know, I'd like to see all the senior military officers be charged with treason. They need to be. To take our soldiers into a war they know is based on lies. And they know that the Canadian public has been intentionally deceived about this war, and then they take our soldiers into it. They need to be charged with treason. We need a whole new generation of leaders in the military, in our intelligence and police networks. You know, it's like the more scummier and perverted people are in these services, the more they rise to the top. It's the scum rise to the top, and that's what's been happened in our societies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. Now, this is really an international problem. You're naming two countries, but these international intelligence agencies basically have two factions. They're often referred to as the Black Hats and the White Hats, just like in the cowboy movies. The Black Hat, the cowboy that wore the black hat was always the evil dude. He was the one murdering people and robbing banks. So you have that same persona mirrored in the intelligence communities, and it's international. They have their cohorts in other countries as well. You can look at corrupt factions of the KGB or the GRU and compare them to corrupt factions of the FBI and the CIA, or MI6 and MI5 in England, or the Mossad and the Sayeret Mactal in Israel. And it goes on from country to country, but they work hand in hand because they're controlled by the same Zionist, Stalinist, Marxist, fascist pigs that provoked world wars and all the wars that we've had in between, all again for the purpose of seizing power and control and stealing the assets of others while murdering millions of people. It's an unending story, Christopher, and yet you're very right, and I think you get the general idea of what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a problem in every country in the world. Every country in the world. And I think it's like we, the people of the world. I see it as those with heart. Those who still feel, have the capacity for love, who have the capacity to care for other human beings, those of us upright of heart, we have to take our world back and unite across our national boundaries to recognize our common enemy, which is these criminal elites who have taken over our world. And the way I see it, see, all around the world, though, we have anti-terrorist legislation which allows you to seize the assets of anyone involved in terrorist activities. So if people wake up, we realize that the real terrorists are these international bankers and corporate elites and the Crown of London. And we need to imprison these people and take back. It would pay off all the debts of all the nations on Earth. It really would. Because all the money is owed to these international criminals. Like you see Greece going down and Spain. Okay, because they owe all this money to the IMF. Well, the IMF is a completely criminal terrorist organization which has sponsored terrorism around the world for decades. Okay, so no country in the world should pay the IMF one penny back. Because to pay the IMF back, money's owed to them, is really to support international terrorism. So all the countries of the world, we need to identify who the true terrorists are, and we need to seize their assets. It would pay off all the debts of the world. You could bring out all these innovations in healthcare and energy and all these things that they've kept for themselves, and these inventions and discoveries like water cars and zero-point energy production and new medicines and new foods, and all these things have been kept from us. And there's so much abundance and wealth in the world. There was no need for anyone in this world to go homeless and to be starving and live in poverty. There was never any need for that. The whole thing has been created by these people intentionally. So if somehow we could turn the tide on these people, have them arrested, have international courts and truth hearings, we'd enter a new age. And all problems like the problems of the Gulf, we could solve it if we really had honest people. Like, you look at the ingenuity of American scientists. If we could bring those, like Mike Castles and all these American great inventors, eh? If we could just take their ingenuity, we could solve all these problems. But that's the problem, is that there's never that level of competence. Our government is always totally incompetent. And I think it's intentional. I believe, as you say, I believe the oil Gulf rig was done intentionally. And you can just look at Goldman Sachs' behavior. They're selling off of BP stock 3 weeks ahead, and also 3 months ahead, and also ahead of time they bought up the company that makes this dispersant, which they're dispersing, which is an additional toxin. Mm-hmm. So there's so much evidence. There's evidence of explosion on the rig. There's so many anomalies here that I think it was done intentionally, and I think it created a bigger problem than they really expected. That's one thing I do think, and I don't think they know how to solve it, at least within their paradigm.
Yes, I agree, and as in 9/11 and the other events that you rattled off, those same signposts are there.
Yeah.
The difference is here you have the same CEO. Well, it's very much mirrors Larry Silverstein. Silverstein was leasing those buildings, yet they were able to get him this massive multi-billion-dollar settlement, insurance payment, on the basis of an event that actually occurred as the policy dictated. If that doesn't show intent to defraud, you hear these stories about someone who murders their spouse because of a secret insurance policy that the other spouse learned about, and so the motive is always financial. Well, we see the red flags all over the place. They were announced months before 9/11 occurred. We had whistleblowers warning us that something was planned and was going to occur. How did these people know it and our government didn't? You know? I mean, with all the intelligence, the eavesdropping, the wiretapping, and all the technology that they use to monitor society, you mean to tell me that they're going to blame this on a couple of towel-headed camel jockeys hiding in the mountains of Afghanistan? It's ridiculous, the stories that they tell us. And
yeah.
And we have the same circumstances mirrored here. BP's CEO was also a CEO of Goldman Sachs.
Yeah.
Is it a coincidence that both of them were dumping their stock prior to this event? Just a short matter of time before it occurred. And again, we have Cheney and Halliburton and Bush in the background. You know, their names are being kept out of it as much as possible because those are key components of what's going on. You've got Transocean Limited run out of Zug, Switzerland. Mark Rich, Bill Clinton's 11th hour pardon before he left office. Heavily involved in all the financial embezzlement that went on during the Bush, Clinton, and Bush regimes. So it's all there in front of us. What are we supposed to do?
Well,
they got away with another one, let them go again? They're destroying the planet. You know, I don't mean to rant. You know, I'm just underscoring what you said.
Yeah, it's terrible. They're destroying the United States of America, and they're destroying the planet. I mean, they have this Orwellian vision of stamping on the boot, the face, a boot stamping on the face of humanity. I mean, they're absolute control freaks who have no feeling or compassion or capacity for love. And it's we who care for our planet and fellow citizens, we need to unite together around the world to imprison these people and bring them to justice and take back our world. And we've never known a world free of these people. Like they've been scheming these wars and all the deprived things they've done. This has been for centuries. You know, you see the same people schemed World War One, and then they didn't get their State of Israel, so they schemed World War Two, and then they helped exterminate the Jews in the Holocaust, and that gives them reason to set up Rothschild land in Israel. I mean, we've never dealt with these people. And all the blood stains through human history, it all traces back to these same groups.
Yeah.
And it's complicated, but we have to take back our planet, and by the will of God, and you know, we need help. You know, we need to be brave to try to face it. We need to be brave to try to face all the lies and the deception.
Yes.
We're in really troubled times. It's going to turn one way or the other. I really believe we're in end times, and we're going to end up with a totalitarian fascist state around the world with massive genocide of people, or else we're going to enter a new age where we'll bring about the healing of planet Earth and the healing of all those people who have lost loved ones and had these losses and broken hearts around the world.
Well, I see that happening on this planet, and I think that's why they're ramping everything up to the fever pitch that they are, because they're fearful and they're the authors of fear, and they are desperate in these times. Christopher, if I may impose upon you and the listening audience to share an audio clip. This is about a little less than 8 minutes. This is Pastor James David Manning, and this clip is called "The Red Phone Has Rung." Could I play that? Would you mind?
Please do.
Okay, because I'm going to solicit your comments on this afterwards. This is James David Manning from the Atla Ministry in Atla, New York.
Greetings, everyone. The British petroleum oil rig catastrophe that happened in the Gulf of Mexico is indeed a wake-up call for Americans and all people worldwide. The economic and ecological effects of this catastrophe, I believe, will sail into the trillions of dollars over the next generation. We do not know whether or not this was indeed an act of terrorism, sabotage, or just plain old arrogance, greed, and irresponsibility, and one hand washing the other as far as government agencies are concerned with private business. We just don't know. However, this event could indeed be our Pompeii or our Krakatau revisited. This much we do know, that Barack Hussein Obama does not possess the emotional capability of protecting this nation, keeping it safe, and guiding her through very difficult times. Now, I want you to please listen to me. Hear me carefully. It has been demonstrated over and over again, Mr. Obama's detachment. Now, while he is a wonderful speaker, great orator, and of course, he plays the part of a political leader to the Academy Awards statue. However, when it comes down to the kind of experience and emotional attachment and patriotism that is absolute for the leadership of such a great nation and the care of the nations of the world, Mr. Obama is completely and wholly devoid of such understanding. Now here, we need to understand this clearly, that to continue to allow this man to lead our nation puts all of our lives at grave risk. Mr. Obama, like a large number of men, do not possess certain kinds of sensitivities. This is not a Republican issue. It is not a Democrat issue. It is not a left or right issue. It is not a black or white issue. This is simply an issue of whether one is emotionally, spiritually experienced enough to lead and protect such a great nation as ours. This matter of the British Petroleum catastrophe has gotten far out of hand. Never has the proverb of locking the door after the horses have escaped from the barn been more appropriate than what we see going on in our nation and the deliberation regarding the British Petroleum catastrophe. I want to say to all Americans and people worldwide, but particularly to the Justice Department, to our congressional leaders, people in business, and people in the media, we must take immediate steps now to remove Mr. Obama from the responsibility of leading this nation. The red phone, my friends, has rung, and it's going to ring again. Our lives are at great risk, our economy and the economy of the world, because we have a leader who just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. And it isn't because he will not. It is because he is incapable and he cannot. Now, it becomes our responsibility to recognize and step to the plate to protect this great nation and the future of our children, that we must remove this man. And how can we do such a thing at such a critical hour in our nation? The first thing we need to do is that we need to recognize the error of our ways going back to the days of the campaign, when we covered for him, when it was lauded then throughout America that he does not possess the experience, nor does he demonstrate the level of patriotism that will be absolutely necessary to lead such a great nation as ours. We must repent of such, as the Word of God tells us, that if we repent, that God will hear us and he will heal our land. He will even heal our seas when it comes to the Gulf of Mexico and the British Petroleum catastrophe. I want to appeal to the Justice Department, to the congressional leaders, and to the media. Stop covering up for this man. And the truth that you know about him, let it be known so America can make a fair and a just decision that we might be preserved as a nation and our children might inherit this great nation and the world might have a continued leader and leadership in America. You understand. Many of you listening to me now know that you have covered for him, and in doing so, you have put this great nation at risk, indeed at grave risk. He is incapable emotionally. Now, I'm not here to make a psychological determination. I am just simply pointing out over the length and breadth of his leadership, he's demonstrated over and over again that he does not get it. He does not understand. Will you choose to heed this counsel? Let's remove all of the protections and let's present and let America know the truth about this man. And if we simply let America know the truth about this man, starting at Columbia University, going through Chicago's gangs, and fighting his way to the White House through manipulation, lies, and the greatest act of fraud that has ever been perpetrated upon the American people, then all things will balance out. There will be no fight left in him, and there will be no fight left in the American people, for they now know we are at risk. We don't know whether or not what has happened in the Gulf of Mexico with that oil rig catastrophe. We don't know whether some other phone will ring in the middle of the night. And because we have left an incapable man at the helm of our ship, we are doomed to destruction and we're doomed to death. I plead with the media, stop covering for this man. Let the truth be known. And my brothers and my sisters, the truth will set us free. Thank you for listening today.
That's Pastor James David Manning on May 28th, 2010. Christopher, any comments you'd like to make?
Well, one thing I disagree with James Manning about is to describe Barack Obama as a great orator. To me, when I saw his presidential address the other day, I feel like he doesn't speak with heart. He doesn't speak with heart, and it's not spiritually felt what he says. He's empty. His hand movements, it's all mechanical. He's trying to act as if he has emotions, but it's fraudulent. He's empty inside. James Manning is the great orator.
Yeah, I think
Barack Obama is empty.
Yeah, and I think in his defense, he's saying he's an effective orator. In other words, he's accomplishing his role, but he's certainly not giving any credence to what he says.
No, but I'm just saying, I don't think he is a great orator. John Kennedy was a great orator. Yeah, since him, I don't think you've had a president who was other than a psychopath and puppet. And that's how I see Barack Obama. I feel sorry for Barack Obama. I mean, everything in his life is based on deception. In a way, these people are soulless. Did you see that clip of that senator walking down the street and that young college fellow trying to ask him a question and the senator grabbed the college student? Did you see that clip?
I didn't see it. I heard about it, though.
That was very interesting because, in a way, I think the young man was just kind of very innocently asking, like, do you support Barack Obama's agenda or program? And the senator just so turned on him. I think that just shows how stressed out these people are. Like, your senators and congressmen in the United States, they are so involved in this treasonous activity and fail. None of them have heart and step forward and speak the truth about any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and you see that man, he can't even tolerate this young person because he knows he's a walking lie. These people are pathological liars. and they're starting to feel stressed. They should feel stressed. It's like Brzezinski addressing the Council on Foreign Relations. He said, you know, we're in trouble. People are waking up to what we're doing. And there are millions of people around the world waking up to it. And these people, I don't want to say they should be scared. Well, they should be scared. Because we're realizing these people have committed treason. If there was justice in the United States of America, these people would be in prison for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with hanging people in that. I think that's really destructive because I think for different reasons. I think partly because I think to murder these people, I think we repeat the same cycle. And I think their souls then linger in limbo and they come back and repeat the same things again in another life because I think this has gone on through generations. And I think that's what happens. I believe in reincarnation. And if these people, it's like the French Revolution, you cut off all their heads and you have this mass psychosis. And it just repeats the cycle. It doesn't end it. These people need to be imprisoned, and then they need to be exposed publicly and be brought before the public and answer to the public for the things they've done. And
yes,
we need to have truth hearings where we have forgiveness for those who step forward and really talk honestly and reveal what's happened and speak of their own crimes. I think we need to, you know, have that forgiveness. We need these people to turn. Sorry, Don?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I'm not beyond imprisonment for these people. In fact, I think they should get a taste of their own medicine that they've been dishing out to innocent people for several hundred years, just in this country alone. And I would like to see them making license plates, but taking them, not putting them on cars, but wearing them, and let them make a license plate for every person they murdered around the world. I think that would be a tremendous weight to bear, but certainly they deserve it. So,
well, they do. I would like to see them have, you know, the expression, you create the hell of your own design. See, I think all these people should all be microchipped. And I think they should all eat genetically modified foods, and I think they should all be right up on their inoculations. And I think they should be chemtrailed, and we can put substances in their water. I think they should be monitored so that the American public, anytime they want, they can tune in and you put in your computer David Rockefeller, and you have a live video camera so you can see David Rockefeller in all his interactions. And so you see, the people of the United States have been so traumatized that in a way, for the healing, they need to see who these people are. You need to see the Clintons, not where they're before the camera and they're all made up, and you need to see them shape-shifting and what they really are. So I think these people need to be exposed, and I think we need to create for them the hell of their own design. All the media people should be in a David Rockefeller media FEMA camp, and they get to listen to all their lies. You know, Wolf Blitzer can listen to all his lies, and they play over and over again. That's the kind of thing, you know, Bush and his cronies, they should be in Cuba. You know, in Cuba, and let them go to Guantanamo. Let Cheney try out some of his water tortures. Maybe put some dogs around the facility, and the dogs can save the human race, since the military and police don't want to stand up to the job.
Maybe we could convert the world's zoos. What do you think about that?
Convert the world?
The world's zoos. You know, the zoological museums, the living zoos, where they keep animals locked up. Maybe we should put them there.
I'm not sure. I think I like the idea. I think people need to see who these people are. And imagine in a way, one would take back all the corporate media. See, all the corporate media has been involved in this intentional deception of the American public. So all the media should be seized. Okay? And in a way, you would free up all those people in the media. They would love it, because once again, they could be real investigative reporters. See, in a way, you know, we don't want people going out and destroying the media and destroying things like this. We need to take it back and then allow the people in the media, imagine their thrill to come forward and to be able to show truth movies. And Hollywood, all the corruption in Hollywood, get rid of this scum that's taken over Hollywood and let the real actors and producers produce real movies again. Not to brainwash people and deceive them, but to reveal the truth of what's been done historically. Real movies about Oklahoma City and the, you know, London train bombings. Let the media, you know, the media could be play a great role again in awakening and serving the people of the world.
Well, I may disagree with that to some extent. Let me explain why. Okay, I understand your point. They play as significant a role in this corruption as those that devise all these different devices that are perpetrated on the public. There are co-conspirators in that. Why couldn't the alternative media, such as those on the internet, take their place? Those that have been telling the truth and pointing these things out should be allowed to continue to do so. And let these people listen to the truth. Give them each a set of headphones so they can have it piped into their cells while they think about the opportunity that they have now, while they're being paid millions and millions of dollars every year to lie and deceive the public. I don't think they deserve that, to tell you the truth. Do I have forgiveness in my heart? Absolutely. Enough to give them a set of headphones.
Yeah, no, I wasn't meaning to let the main deceivers carry forward. No, I was thinking of the supporting, like the cameramen and the reporters and people like that. I totally agree that these main people, they've been involved in this conspiracy to commit mass murder against peoples of the world, including the American public. They're accessories after the fact to the mass murder of 9/11. You know, they're too guilty. I think there should be a David Rockefeller Center for them. And they all get David Rockefeller buttons. Thank you for your service in allowing us to commit mass murder and treason. And they should all get their David Rockefeller buttons. And they can live their life out in the Rockefeller Center and listen to all their own lies through the rest of their life. Unless at some point we might have forgiveness and let them return to normal life. No, I agree. I think the people on the truth networks, these are the people we want in the media. You know, all these people who played this great role in awakening and sounding the alarm to try to, you know, rise the patriots back, you know.
Well, and I think it might serve them well, and I don't mean against any fans of this particular show, but I think watching Lawrence Welk reruns throughout eternity might serve them well.
I think to let them listen to their own lies. You see, that's what I think. You know,
or
they get to
speeches. Yeah.
Yeah, listen to all their own lies and for them to be together so that they listen to each other's lies.
Yes. Now, Christopher, there is you know, we didn't talk about your book as much as I would have liked, but elements of your spiritual wisdom come out and of course you're passionate about what's going on, so you're going to take a stance that voices your displeasure with what's been allowed to occur in the United States as well as in your own country and around the world, and the pretext under which these wars and these disasters upon which are perpetrated upon humanity are devised and conceived, and you feel that these people have a karmic debt to society for that. In your book, there is a particular area where you're talking about Crowley's writings in regard to the universe. And you give an equation of the universe. And this may seem like we're drifting away from today's topic, but I wanted to touch upon that because it's such a simplistic example of how we are all connected, interconnected, as living, feeling, heart-filled human beings, those of us who are awake and are aware of that. And I wonder if you could describe that simple arithmetic calculation that you gave an example of and why you included that in your book.
Yeah, well, it's what Aleister Crowley calls the magical formula of the universe, and the formula is actually plus one plus minus one equals zero. And in a way, that it's hard to explain, but you know, scientists now looking at the origin of the universe, and they think that if you trace the universe back to its origin, it emerged from a zero point, a singularity, out of the quantum vacuum. And it's like if you trace the universe back to its origin, all the positive elements cancel out the negative elements so that the whole thing ends up adding up to nothing. And this is a mystical idea of that all of creation emerges out of nothingness. You even find it in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, the earth was empty and void, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. It's an ancient mystical and religious idea that creation emerges out of nothingness. So in a way, everything in life adds up to nothing. That's part of the meaning of that formula for Crowley. And it also has to do with his mystical conception of human consciousness and what he calls the conjunction of hodit and nui. And hodit is the point source star within the human being. It's like a God spark, which I believe there's a God spark in every human being. And in different mystical teachings, there's different names for that God spark. It's in Kabbalistic teachings, it's in Christianity, in Gnostic Christianity, it's in the Vedas, it's called the Jiva Atma, Blavatsky calls it the monad. So there's a God spark within the human being, and that God spark exists within Nui. Nui for Crowley, it's a French word that means night, and yes. Nui represents the divine mother or space. So the conjunction of a point source, a star within Nui, it's like looking at the sky at night and you have all these stars in the blackness of night. In a way, that's the mystical nature of a human being. We have a divine spark that exists within higher dimensional space. So the conjunction of plus one plus minus one equals zero depicts this concept of hodit and nui, and solving the mysteries of the universe, which is uniting these principles within oneself.
Yes.
That's an element of it. You know, Crowley, unfortunately, people like Crowley, he seemed to become involved with MI6, and he got into perversions and pedophilia and homosexuality and seemed to become quite a black character. But there are elements in his writings which were quite inspired, I think, before, like in his earlier life, before he became so perverted and lost his way. So in my book, what I try to do is explain the heart doctrine, drawing from all these different religious and mystical teachings, showing the commonality of this element. Like the heart doctrine is in Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Tibetan Buddhism, secret doctrine, Aleister Crowley, and elsewhere. And that's what I think those of us around the world who have a spiritual or religious belief, we need to come together. And the heart doctrine is what unites us. Those of us around the world who want to be upright of heart, who care for your planet, who care for your neighbors, you know, we need to come together to solve these problems of humanity and take our world back from these people who sell their souls and become so involved in, for money, sex, and power that they come under satanic influences. And I believe there are these satanic forces that actually take people's souls and they live carnivorously off people's souls. See, a person doesn't automatically have a soul. In a way, you have to attain to your soul.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't mean to mention Crowley because I support Crowley's perverted use or application of that principle you described, but that is, as you pointed out, that principle is found in all the major religions of the world, and even if we didn't have religion, which they're basically trying to consolidate into something else, which appears to be founded in evil devices that they've yet to really expose. We've gotten glimpses of it. It's Crowley's perverted use of those principles, and then its adaptation by all of the secret societies that really made it what it is today. And it has dominated politics, and it has dominated the international banking system, and the pharmaceutical companies, the oil companies, which we are witnessing today. It's just another extent, and they're all participating in it equally, aren't they? And then to the detriment of humanity. All of this is intended to cause us to be separate or to forget who we are.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, see, what I teach in psychology is this advanced science of the soul, and it's a model of human consciousness based on spiritual and religious teachings. And this is what the elite haven't wanted human beings to know. They haven't wanted us to realize our spiritual power. And so they've intentionally dumbed down the American public because they've wanted to undermine religion. It's even in the protocols of the Elders of Zion. They want to promote Darwinianism, that we're only animals and we just live while we're alive, so enjoy yourself, don't worry about morals, just pursue your own pleasure. That's what they want to promote, and that's why they promoted so much perversion and sexuality and greed through their media. See, there's been a deliberate dumbing down of the American public and Canadian and elsewhere. And it's just like in other areas, you know, in the energy area, they've deprived us of having water, cars, or zero-point energies. In all these different areas, they've withheld the real teachings from people. And in my area is mystical psychology. What my book is about is what the elites haven't wanted people to realize. They haven't wanted us to attain to our spiritual power.
Yes. Well, I agree with you on that. Now, as a closing remark, and I'd like you, if I can even make any sense out of this, if we look at our responsibilities to Mother Earth and to Mother Nature and to what's occurring right now, were we collectively, through the heart, to address this situation in the Gulf, I'm convinced that we can come to some solutions and really solve all of the problems, but we have to do this in such a high vibration or high frequency, and with the right intention to assist the Earth. The Earth can heal itself, but at the same time, if we use that equation, plus one, let's say being the people, plus minus one being the Earth, and we honor those most fundamental universal principles that you're talking about, we should be able to cancel out this whole issue, shouldn't we? If we applied it in that manner, metaphysically speaking.
Yeah, I believe if we could take back control of our own government, and we could solve this problem. I think the technology's even there. you know, we have, you know, Mike Castle's like material that just gathers the oil, and we have these bacteria that will eat the oil and then convert it. They become food for marine life.
Yeah.
If we had control, we could cope with this disaster. And I'm sure the technology, if we could bring the right scientists together, we could solve this as a problem. Everything that the government does impedes us every step of the way, because all the time they're lying to us about what the problem really is. They lie to us about what they do. They don't do anything. You see, from the moment the rig exploded, it took over a month for that oil to come ashore in Louisiana. And during that time, absolutely nothing had been done to impede the progress of that oil coming in on the marshland. And then it's on the marshland, and they did nothing to prevent it. It's astonishing. You see, yeah, there's no will. We need to take back control of our government such that it serves the people again. And then I think we as humankind need to experience, we need to repent, as James Manning says, or experience remorse of conscience. How have we let this happen to us? And if we experience remorse of conscience, and then I think through our prayers to beseech God and higher powers to help us and have mercy on us and to help us deal with this problem. And that is part of the solution, I believe, also. And I think we could use white magic in a way to solve these problems,
yeah.
Help the earth heal.
In
so I think it is useful to keep it in our prayers. And.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a sense, what I'm implying is that our action, you know, taking a positive course of action and being remorseful about it and certainly repentant about allowing this to have occurred for very selfish reasons. There are a lot of people that say, well, you know, what can I do? This goes on all the time. We have a responsibility to stop it from going on all the time.
Yeah.
And to stop it from ever occurring again. I use that comparison of, you know, of assigning the number of plus one to humanity or mankind and the minus one to the earth to signify the yang aspect, what you could call the yin and the yang together.
Yeah.
In that the earth gives us life, just as a mother gives birth to a child. And nurtures the child. We seem to have forgotten that we're visitors on a planet, on an ecosystem that's alive and very conscious, much more conscious than the inhabitants. And the earth can reject us much like an animal that shakes itself to rid itself of parasites on its skin.
Yeah, it's funny, Blavatsky describes the earth exactly in that way, that we're fleas and every so often she shakes us off. I believe we could help invoke these higher powers to bring about this healing, as you're suggesting. It's like I heard you one evening talking about, like, how you seem to actually modify the winds and the weather. I've had the same experiences. I think these powers are there. We've been so dummied down, we don't realize it. It's the power of the heart. You know, in the New Age thinking, the idea is that you form a mental intention of something, and the idea is if you form a mental intention, you can create it. What people don't realize, it's not only the mental intention, it's the power of the heart. And
yeah.
In the Jewish tradition, they have a special word for the heart. It's called tzar. It's T-Z-U-R. And the heart is what gives form to thought. So it's not just in the mind, but the real power, our spiritual power, is within the heart. But humankind has to undergo this transformation of the heart. And in mystical teachings, you know, you have seven chakras. Most people are ruled by the three lower chakras below the level of the heart. And the first level of awakening is the awakening of the heart chakra. And that's what we need on this planet. We need the awakening of the heart chakra so that people attain to the spiritual consciousness. And if we can, enough of us can attain to that, we can transform this planet.
Yes. Well, I appreciate your wisdom and your willingness to answer these somewhat discombobulated questions. I'm asking these through my feeling center, so the words don't always come out like I intend them to. But I think you get the gist of what I'm saying, and I think you answered a very incomprehensible question or nebulous question very distinctly, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Don, for having me, and I really appreciate your effort. And I, out here with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of others, listen to you almost nightly when I can. And I thank you and all those others in the truth movement who really put yourself on the line in what you do. So thank you, and thank BBS, Don and Doug and Seth at BBS, too, for the great service they do.
Well, promise, before you go, promise you'll come back soon. You know my schedule's already filled up this month, but I'd like to have you back some more and talk about some of these loftier concepts in your book.
Yeah, please, Don, any time. I'm pleased to be on your show. It's an honor for me to be here.
All right. Thank you very much. And you be well, be safe. And I'm almost finished with your book, and I'll be writing the review any day now. So,
wonderful, Don. Thank you.
All right. Folks, okay. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D., and I will be writing a book review of his book, The Heart Doctrine. You can see that book at his website, zeropoint.com. Also, his show, Zero Point, which airs on BBS Radio every second Saturday. Be sure to tune in to that as well. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting tonight's show. Also want to thank Don Newsom on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when I'm actually going to have two guests, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III, host of A Marine's Disquisition on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com, and Mark Gould, who is going to be talking about bioremediation in the Gulf of Mexico. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.